Good morning, everyone. We begin with a little quiz for you. How many of these voices that are now fading into history can you identify?
We are in the most serious financial crisis in generations.
The health of the broader economy is at risk.
The oil shocks of the 70s, the debt crisis of the 80s, the Asian financial crisis of the 90s, they pale by comparison.
Millions of Americans who lost their jobs, their homes, their businesses.
Will we learn from this crisis? Or will we condemn ourselves to repeat it?
Well, Obama's the easy voice. It was the story that rivaled the election of Barack Obama in 2008, the financial meltdown. And those voices may be receding into history, but the financial meltdown is still with us, and the consequences are being felt in various ways. And it was a simple assignment that our colleague Louise Story was given by the New York Times. Look at those consequences, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, and come up with an answer to this question. How come no one got prosecuted? And the regulations might not be in place today to prevent the financial meltdown of, say, 2012 or 2022 from happening again. Louise, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Great work. The story's available on the New York Times website and in the paper this morning. Is that correct?
In the paper, yes.
Yeah. A very difficult assignment, even though simple to ask for. How did you begin?
You know, it's the dog that didn't bark. So it was tough. But what we said was, we said, okay, let's look at where other crises, where there have been more cases. So one natural place to start was the savings and loans crisis.
Right.
So
back in the 1980s.
Right. So my colleague Gretchen Morgenson and I went back and talked to a lot of people who had been involved with prosecuting cases back then.
And there was a whole Resolution Trust Corporation set up.
There were a number of task force set up with a ton of resources, whole squadrons of lawyers to go in and make cases. And one key thing a lot of them told us was they were able to make those cases in large part because bank regulators were required to send them referrals. It's the bank regulators who so often know what's really going on in the banks. So we said, oh, okay, that's interesting. What have bank regulators been doing about cases this time around in the last 4 years? And that's where we found some interesting and sometimes a bit surprising things about key decisions that have been made in the last 4 years at regulators that may have slowed down cases. So one thing, for instance, that we found out about is I called a bunch of people at the SEC.
Right.
And I started saying, you know, where are the cases? Are there cases? You know, I talked to lawyers, former and current lawyers, and said, have you been held back on cases? And I had a few people say, oh, well, did you know we had a policy that we developed that said if a company had bailout money, we wouldn't have too high of a settlement on them. I said, no,
wow.
I didn't know that.
Is,
that was not public.
What does that mean exactly? What does that mean exactly?
So what it means is once the investigation is finished and they come to the table and they start looking at how much of a penalty they will impose on this company, they had a written policy that the SEC worked out with the Treasury Department but never disclosed to the public. This is not known. That they would take into account, you know, oh, it has bailout money. Now, look, there's a logical reason for this. And in fact, the people who told me this were not outraged by it.
And they would probably say something like, look, the banks were hurt. We bailed them out. Why hurt them again?
That's
with a
right.
Fine?
Right. That's exactly what they said. And they said it would be kind of like having the taxpayers
pay the fine.
And they thought that that was illogical. And you can certainly see that argument. But on the other hand, a number of people on the inside of the SEC, current and former, told me, you know, when the prosecutors there knew that they might not get as high of penalties while these companies had bailouts, you know, it may have slowed down the vigor which with they went ahead. It sent a message.
What about the issue of risk? The risks that were taken during the lead up to the financial meltdown, how is that going to be either people are going to be made accountable for what happened, or there are going to be regulations put in place so that that can't happen again? What did you find out there?
Well, you know, certainly tons of risk put in place. And one of the things that was interesting that we found out was also the regulators did not put systems in place for, you know, like hotlines for employees or customers of companies to come forward and report about risk that these companies were doing. And that's something, again, that in past instances has helped. So we have a story.
And let's just get that straight. They had the chance to do it and deliberately didn't.
Right. We have an anecdote in our story, for instance, featuring a housing advocate, actually someone who was featured in The Inside Job. You ran a clip from The Inside Job earlier.
The Oscar-winning documentary.
That's right. And he tells us a story about how years before Countrywide ran into problems, he went to John Reich, who was the head of the OTS, and he said, you really need to set up a hotline so whistleblowers can call in and tell you, because there is some really crazy stuff going on.
And he
on.
Wasn't talking about something that was like wildly innovative and never been done before,
no,
right?
It
was
like normal. There have been other yeah. times that regulators really have tried to encourage tips. And according to him, John Reich said, no, Angela Mozzillo, the CEO of Countrywide, Angela Mozzillo is my friend.
Oh.
Wow.
Now, I should tell you that John Reich told us this week he does not remember the conversation. So,
and indeed, all of the institutions that are profiled or mentioned in your article have their own sort of version of events here, right?
Some more strongly deny things than others. Some, you know, many of them confirmed aspects of it. But this is a very hot, caustic topic to ask these entities about, because you're basically asking them, have you done your job well enough? Have you really looked into potential wrongdoing? And just as hard as it was to come up with the answer to the story, it's often hard for these prosecutors to come up with the answers to where are the cases.
But there's also an argument that it wasn't necessarily illegal activity, but just the entire culture of the system that caused the financial crisis. And therefore, it'd be very difficult to pin wrongdoing on anyone.
That is one of the most common answers that you hear from prosecutors and also people on Wall Street, which is that this was all a big mistake. People did not realize how much risk they were taking on, and there was no bad intent.
I wish people could see your face. It doesn't look like you're buying it.
No, you know, I think that the evidence will become more clear over the next few years. But, you know, there have been a lot of articles and investigations written that raise a lot of questions, but I'm not a lawyer. I don't know,
sure.
You know.
Then let's land it this way. Is this a story of asleep at the switch by institutions in the United States looking ahead to the next meltdown? Or is this a story of derivatives and investment banks that we've become so dependent on in our economy that there is fundamentally no way to keep them from doing these risky things, because that's where the money comes from?
Well, we have become so dependent on Wall Street that the regulators in 2008 and 2009 were far, far more concerned about stabilizing the system than they were about getting going on these cases. And you can certainly see their point of view that they had to stabilize the system. But now, 4 years later, and we don't have many cases, you look back and you see there were some trade-offs made and the cases were not always put first and foremost ahead.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Check out her story in the paper today, 3 years after the financial meltdown. What were the consequences? Who received consequences? You'll be surprised by the answer.